Thank you, Brother Claiborne, and praise the Lord, everybody. How many feel the sweet presence of the Lord in this place tonight? Praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Claiborne, for those kind words, and we deeply appreciate them. I want to give honor to Brother Claiborne and also Brother Smith and this entire youth committee, the district board, and all of the participants in this youth camp. I don't know when I have ever seen a greater group of young people than what I have seen right here in the state of California. I'm not just saying that. I'm not just saying it to say it. I don't have to say it, but I want to say it. Young people, you must have some incredible pastors. That's right. And the men of God that have been here, I don't know when I have ever been treated with more respect and kindness. And boy, if I go to calling names, I'll get in trouble. But Brother Larson has gone out of his way to make me feel extremely special. And I want him to know how much we love and appreciate him tonight. And all of the ministers, it has been an honor to get acquainted with you. And I am excited about the end time. I just want to challenge you tonight to go deeper than you have ever gone before. Go higher than you have ever gone before in the history of your life. Time is running out and we can feel it. How many realize that this is the last day? This is the last day right now. And it's very difficult to talk about it without weeping. But there is a generation of elders that needs our support like we have never given it to them before. Hold your clapping just a moment, if you would. There are some great men of God who are not getting any younger. And I felt it so heavy in the Holy Ghost last night that there are some young people in this building that there's already heavy anointing and calling upon your life. Young ladies, there's some heavy anointing that is already on your life. And I felt so strong. I prayed much about what to preach, when to preach it. Monday and Tuesday, God stirred us and dealt with us about consecration. Because there's never been a day quite like today. And God is saying, I want to use you like I have never used you before. But He's going to use consecrated vessels. He's going to use consecrated vessels. And so I want to challenge you to go home and be more consecrated than you have ever been in the history of your life. You are precious. And God is with you. And there is a wonderful spirit that is in this house tonight. And I want to give you one more message. I really do count it an honor to be here. You could have had anybody speak. And I appreciate the opportunity so much to come and be able to speak these nights. You have responded so well, and we love you very much. How many will make me one promise? I'm going to pray for Brother Scoggins. If I have California praying for me, I believe I'll make it. Praise God. The book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or My Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the children then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I want to use for our subject tonight, Daddy is in the grandstand. Daddy is in the grandstand. Would you just call him that for a moment? Would you tell him, Daddy, I love you tonight? Would you close your eyes? Daddy, I worship you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your compassion and your power. Thank you for what you're going to do in this house tonight. Oh Lord, I thank you for your willingness to allow us, Lord, to have a great invitation to be a part of this family. Thank you, mighty God, for what you're going to do on this last night of this youth camp. Let something mighty and powerful and glorious happen. In Jesus' name I pray. Now let's clap our hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. I love you, Master, today. God bless you, and you may be seated. What an honor and a privilege to be a part of the family of God. I never want to take for granted this great invitation that has been granted unto every one of us. Some of you are from wonderful households. You have praying fathers. You have praying mothers. Some of you are from a great heritage. And some of you, as we found out last night, have alcoholic mothers and alcoholic fathers. When I found the church, or if I could say better, when the church found me, I found a family that had everything that I was looking for. What a wonderful day it was when that 15-year-old boy was asked by a drunk mother to go and visit the Pentecostal church. Nathan, you have needs in your life. And she slobbered it out and slurred it out. You need God or you're going to go to hell. And she said, you're lost. And I looked at her for a moment and I said, how in the world could anybody as lost as she is tell me that I need God? But at 15 years of age, she took me to that Pentecostal church. If it wouldn't have been for a grandmother and a grandfather that had many, many times of and days of prayer and fasting, I wouldn't be here to preach to you tonight. But because of prayer and fasting and faithfulness of grandparents, I stand before you a testimony that prayer and fasting still works. But a backslid mother carried me to church drunk. And when I got there, I witnessed shouting and dancing and running. And the preacher got in the pulpit, as wild as the evangelist has been, hollering and screaming, and it literally scared me to death. So much that I told my mother, you got to get me out of here. These people are totally crazy. I've got to get out. And so she took me back in the car and we left. And we made our exit. For 6 weeks, I could not get away from the love that I felt in that sanctuary. For 6 weeks, I could not get away nor escape the presence of God that had touched my heart. And so 6 weeks later, my mother came and she said, "Listen, Nathan, you need God in your life worse than you have ever needed Him before. You've got to get to church. You've got to go tonight." And it made me so mad. I slammed the door. I ran out into the backyard. I went down toward the creek, or creek, ever what you call it. And when I got down there, suddenly tears began to stream down my face. And I was moved like I had never been moved before. Suddenly I reeled in the line that I was fishing with. I ran all the way back up unto the house, and I told my mother, "All right, I'm ready. Let's go." She tried to calm me, and she said, "Listen, I know it was wild last service. The evangelist was preaching, and things were not calm at all. But maybe the pastor will be a little calmer, and things will not be as wild." And we all know that that's not a guarantee either, is it? But when I walked through the door, they were in their 6 week of red-hot apostolic revival. And the preacher started preaching with intensity. And he said, "There is somebody here tonight who is lost, who is broken, who is bruised, who is wounded, who is longing for a relationship, one greater than he has ever discovered in his life." And he said, "If you that I am preaching to will make giant steps to the altar, God is going to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost." A 15-year-old boy that is preaching to you tonight with hair down the middle of his back thought he literally meant it. And I took giant steps all the way unto that altar. But the last step I took into everlasting arms. I found a daddy that I never had before. I found a relationship that I had never discovered before. I found mothers, sisters, and brothers that I never had before. It was the greatest experience that I had ever had. I didn't know what a B looked like on a report card. I didn't know what an A looked like on a report card. You're looking at a young man whose parents had divorced when he was 9 years old. My dreams were shattered. I loved my mother and I loved my father, but I was torn between the two. But this night, I found a relationship with a God that wasn't going to be just a character in the Bible, but He was going to be a Father that I have never had in the history of my life. I found a relationship that nothing else could compare with. One month later, after receiving the Holy Ghost in Lafayette, Louisiana, we were transferred. My stepfather was transferred to Odessa, Texas. And I became a part of, at that time, what was one of the greatest youth groups, I believe, in existence, the Carpenter Shop. I found things that I had never discovered. It blew my mind after only being there a week when the son of the pastor knocked on the door. It was Terry Pugh, and he said, "Are you Nathan?" I said, "I am." He said, I've learned that you just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, "I did." He said, "I want to invite you to come and be a part of one of the greatest youth groups that has ever existed. We don't want you to just be on the outskirts. We want you to be in the inner court. We want you to be a part of what is happening here." I had never felt love like that in my entire life. And I'll never forget families that I begin to meet and discover in that church. When I didn't have the influence at home, didn't have the mother or father to to force me to go to church, but after I found him, I wanted to go to church. Nothing could keep me from wanting to be in the sanctuary and in the presence of God. You didn't have to force me. You didn't have to prompt me. You didn't have to beg me. In fact, I became extremely discouraged when I couldn't go to church. And I found people began to love me and brought me in. And when I say mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, I mean that. I'll never forget the Ross family. Every time they bought their son a new shirt, they bought me one. When they bought him a new pair of pants, they bought me one. You see, I don't have any rocks to throw at my family tonight. God allowed me to be born into one of the greatest heritage that has ever existed in the history of this movement. I'm glad that I'm a part of a united Pentecostal church. The greatest experience I ever had is when, after about an hour of praying in the altar, I couldn't speak English. And when I came to, I still could not speak English, but I found myself in the arms of Sister Bessie Pugh, and she was rocking a big teenager at the altar holding him. And she said, "Son, God is going to use you, and He's going to do things in your life. Because He's going to be that father you've never had." And she said, "Honey, don't put your head down and don't be intimidated. God's got something big for you. He has allowed you to be born into the body. He's going to do something with you." It was encouragement. I'm telling you, it was encouragement. It was something that I never could escape until this day. I am indebted unto the love that she presented unto me, and I appreciate it even unto now. A family, a family, a family. That's what this preacher found when he found Pentecost. He found a family. But in the process of living for God, Sister Pugh told me, she said, "Honey, you won't always be perfect. But I want you to know something. This God that has allowed you to be born into this kingdom, He will never leave you nor forsake you, but He's going to be with you until the end." I don't want to preach totally about my story tonight, but I am telling you, I found some things and I discovered some things. And yes, there were some battles. Yes, there were some pits. Yes, there were some discouraging moments. Like the one when I broke the 6-day fast, wanting my mother to pray through to the Holy Ghost. But this weekend, right after the fast was broke, she came. And I thought, "My, He's going to answer this prayer right away. He's going to do it right now. Something's going to happen right now. I mean, I fasted. He's going to do it right now." I couldn't believe it when the phone call came and they got me out of the altar area and said, "Your mama just called. She's on the way to church." But when she ran down to the front, she fell across the altar and raised her hands and prayed and cried for about 20 minutes. I can't tell you the heartbreak when she turned around and said, "Mama's not ready to let go of alcohol. Mama's not ready to let go of the world. Mama's not ready." My heart was crushed. I felt emotions that I cannot even explain to you. I didn't have a daddy that I could go home and cry on his shoulder. My stepdad was so intoxicated and drunk when I would come home from church, I couldn't talk to him. But I tell you what I found. I could go in my bedroom and I could open my Bible. And even when I couldn't reach Pastor Pugh, I could reach my Heavenly Father. And I began to talk to Him and a relationship began to be born. When fear would overwhelm me, I'd take that Bible and I'd open it up
and I placed it on the coffee table, and it was like Daddy would drive out all of the fear, and I could close my eyes and go to sleep at night. But it wasn't without error, and I wasn't without mistakes. And I'll never forget one night after a mistake was made. I took my Bible, and I went into my bedroom, and I said, "Jesus, my heart is heavy. I don't want to be lost. I really do love you, and I know you love me. I want to be something in your kingdom. I want to be valuable unto you. I don't want to just be average and ordinary, but I want you to call me special. I want to be pleasing to you, and God, my performance is not pleasing, and I am asking you to forgive me." When all of a sudden, a drunk stepfather watching a television show, he screamed from the living room, "Nathan, shut your mouth! Stop that praying! I mean, don't pray like that another moment! Get quiet! I'm watching TV!" My heart was crushed, but I obeyed because of fear. And I got my voice to a whisper. And I said, "Jesus, my stepfather doesn't understand I love him. And my real father is 500 miles away. And I can't communicate with him. I want to ask you, do I have to call you Jesus anymore? Would you let me call you Daddy?" "Daddy, please forgive me. Daddy, I love you. All of a sudden, there was a spirit that swept into that room. "Please be still just a moment." There was a presence that entered that bedroom, and I could feel as though God Himself had walked in that room just now and picked me up. It was a depth in a relationship that I had never discovered in the history of my walk with God. And from that time on, I discovered a depth, because in what my earthly parents could not give me, God had allowed me entrance into a royal priesthood. He had allowed me an entrance into a royal family. And when I called Him Daddy, there was something special about it. "Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I'm not perfect and I never will be, but I want you to hold me in your gentle nail-scarred hands." I made mistakes after that, but every time I went to Daddy, Daddy was gentle because He had my best interest at heart. Daddy wants me to make it more than I want to make it myself, because that's what daddies are. And daddies want me to have the best that I can have, because that's what real good daddies do. Daddies are quick to come on the scene when there's an injury, and if Daddy sees it, he'll run if necessary. And he'll do everything in his power to put that son or that daughter back in the condition that they were before that accident happened. Because nobody can fix it like Daddy. Daddy has a unique way of putting things back together. You young ladies know, you used to tear your dolls apart, but you used to just take it to Daddy and say, Daddy, here's a head and here's a leg and here's a foot, but Daddy can fix it. And you had confidence that your Daddy could put that doll back together. But I'm telling you, it's not only dolls, but my Heavenly Father can put lives back together. He can put hearts back together. He can put homes back together. He can do anything. And so a relationship was born. A relationship with a Father that changed my entire life. A relationship that started. I couldn't believe it when God called me to preach. You mean me? Let me just tell you something, young man, who may have run across somebody that says, you can't be used of God unless your name is this or your name is that. That's not true, because when you get Daddy, we all have one Father. And you can go as high in Pentecost as you want to if you're willing to live for God. Don't you settle with that. That's not true. Your Daddy don't have to be a great man of God for you to be one, because you've got a Heavenly Father that is great and powerful and mighty, and you can be used of God. But I'll never forget, I was preaching now, and the test of sonship is how you respond when Daddy corrects. Because if Daddy really loves you, He'll correct you. And so, I was asked to represent my peer group. I must confess to you that even as a preacher, my performance was not at peak. I didn't study, Brother Larson. I didn't pray. I didn't prepare. It wasn't what I needed to be. And I got up before my peers and I gave my presentation, and I must confess that I embarrassed myself. I felt as though I had embarrassed the state that I represented. I felt as though performance was that bad. When I got through and I made it back to the table, Daddy spoke. And he said, Nathan, you're very sincere, but sincerity is no substitute for a lack of substance. You did not prepare. I couldn't even look at my peers in the eyes. I was embarrassed. I made my way to the room and thought I'd find comfort in my wife, but I didn't find comfort there. I went back down and tried to find comfort again and could not find comfort there. Finally, I was able to look my peers in the eyes, and I went home, but my heart was troubled. See, Daddy had been dealing with Nathan Scoggins, the preacher, who had been preaching 10 years. And I went back to the revival where I was preaching. It was at Brother Ken Gurley's church in Pearland. And the Lord woke me up in the wee hours of the morning. When I got up, my heart was broke. I began to question in my mind, Lord, I've embarrassed myself. I wasn't pleasing to you. I want to do better than that. I want to be used. I want to do something in your kingdom. I want to affect my generation. Listen just a moment. And suddenly, Brother Dominguez, I lost the ability to say words and moanings and groanings. I mean, nobody could interpret it but Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, and it went on for 30 minutes, and then it turned into an hour, groaning I managed to pull myself to the bed, and I lay across. I groaned and I moaned and I sobbed out. My heart was broke. Oh, God, help me to be what I need to be. Help me to do. Give me anointing. Use me. All of a sudden, and I'm not advocating sports here tonight, but all of a sudden, there was a vision. And a 12-year-old boy in an Oriole uniform who played catcher for his team was down behind the plate. Come batter, come batter, come batter, swing! Come batter, come batter, come batter, swing! You can't hit, come batter, swing! I saw it in my mind. A vision from God. A boy in a baseball uniform when I used to play Little League ball. Then suddenly the Lord began to speak. Remember, this is you before I found you. And all of a sudden, the Lord impressed me to look over my right shoulder. And I looked. 12-year-old boy in the uniform, look! And the bleachers were empty. And whether you realize it or not, Nathan Scoggins, this was you. You was always looking to the grandstand for some support and representation. You saw other young men's fathers come and join them and tell them, son, that was a great... But you never had that. But at 17 years of age, you asked me to be your daddy. And he said, I want you to turn now and look over your other shoulder. And when I did, the whole grandstand lit up with a bright light. And Jesus spoke to me. And he said, Nathan Scoggins, the day you asked me to be your daddy, I have been in your grandstand and I have never left it. And when you have hit a home run, and when you've struck out, and when you've been at peak performance, and when you've not been good at all, I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. And I love you. And I'm going to stay with you until the end. And when I came out of that vision, I began to shout and dance. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. There are some of you tonight that when you found God, you found a father you never dreamed you could have. You found a mother you never dreamed you could have. You found a relationship you never dreamed you could have. Some of you have not found that depth because He's just Mama's God and He's just Daddy's God. But when He becomes your daddy, there is something that happens. My daddy, Abba, Abba, Abba. He's not just a God, He's my God. He's not just a God, He's my God. He's not just their God, He's my God. I want to tell you something, young person, on this last night. You that have made a mistake and condemnation is heavy upon you. You've got a Heavenly Father that will wash you and cleanse you and forgive you and carry you and make you what you need to be. I have wrestled for the sake of being misunderstood, Brother Larson. I wrestled with whether or not I'll make this next statement. And I'll just have to trust you to know that my spirit is right. But 1 year later, with a peak year in She's for Christ, among the brethren that I had embarrassed myself in front of, God allowed me to receive the reward of President of the Year before my peer group. Now, I'm not bragging, but I'm telling you, Daddy, it's precious. He doesn't beat you down to destroy you. He only corrects to make you greater in your future. I wonder if there's some young men that's willing to say, I want the spirit of a real son here tonight. God, whatever you have to do to prepare me to be used of God in my future, whatever you have to do. I wonder if there's a young lady that says, I want to be used of God in my future. I want a daddy. I want him to be something that he's never been. On the last night of youth camp, I don't want him to just be Jesus in the Bible. I want him to be my heavenly Father. Young lady, your father's an alcoholic. Your mother's a prostitute. There's an invitation. He's like nothing you've ever dreamed. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. Daddy's in the grandstand. Why do I want to do better? Daddy's watching. Why do I want to live holy and separated? Because Daddy's watching. I'm not doing it just because the preacher says, but Daddy's watching, and I want my life to be pleasing to Daddy. Daddy, I won't wear it because I want to please you. I'll get rid of it because I want to please you. I won't go there, Daddy, because you won't go there with me. And then, Daddy, if you won't go, I don't want to go. Young man that's made mistakes, join the ranks. In the process of rounding second, you tripped and fell, but Daddy's coming out of the grandstand with healing virtue in his hands. He's going to use you like you never dreamed you could be used before. He's a great dad. He's a wonderful father. He's got healing and mercy in his hand. You're going to find a depth you've never discovered if you find this relationship. Heaven will only be a continuation of this relationship. But you won't get there if he's not Abba. Abba! Abba! Daddy! Daddy! Abba! Daddy! Hold me, Daddy! Hold me, Daddy! Go ahead, young lady, tell him, Daddy, don't let me be lost. Daddy, I'm bound. Daddy, rebellion has its claws in me. But Daddy, 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 help me. There's a young lady that wants to get up. You want to get up right now, and you need to get up. Get up, please, and come to Daddy. Please, I know you've been mishandled. I know you've been hurt. I know your confidence has been shattered, but Daddy won't hurt you. Daddy won't hurt you. He's not going to force himself on you, but if you want him, he'll wrap his arms around you. He'll carry you. There's a place in Daddy's arms. Why don't you let him on this last night wrap you so tight that you go home with gentle nail-scarred hands impressed in your life. Daddy's going to squeeze you. Daddy's going to hold you. Some of you are going back to some rough situations. But I'm telling you, Daddy's going to walk in the bedroom and Daddy's going to meet you right in that smoke-filled house. Come on, young lady, please. Let Daddy touch you, please. Please let Daddy touch you. There's some women full of the Holy Ghost that feel anything. Would you walk around through some of these young ladies? There's some desperate situations here tonight. We can't let you, Sam, go by. We can't let it go. Oh, no, we can't. They've got to have a relationship with Daddy. Reach them, Daddy. Touch them, Daddy. Put your arms around them, Daddy. All they may need is a hug. All they may need is an embrace. Darling, you can make it. Honey, you can do it. I know it's heavy. I know it's hard. But you can make it, honey. You can make it. Daddy will help you. Daddy will help you. He didn't come to condemn you. Son, Daddy's going to help you. Daddy's going to help you. What's he going to say? Bring me the best robe. Kill the fatted calf. That's what Daddy's going to say. It's time to celebrate. Let me put my hands around the money. It's so good to see you. It's so good to see you. Your father, the devil's going to molest you. He's going to torment you. He's going to wreck you. He's going to destroy you. Hear me, young lady. Please, if you feel it, get up on your feet and come on down to the altar. Your father, the devil, you're either going to have a daddy called the devil or you're going to have a daddy called Jesus. The devil's lied to you, young lady. Don't accept it. That's it. Daddy's in the house. Daddy's in the house. Daddy's in the house.
Yes, I love you.
You're going to find a consistency. You're going to find a consistency you've never discovered.
I really love you.
Daddy's in your grandstand.
Lord, I love you.
Go ahead, young man.
I love you.
Put your arms around another young lady. Put your arms around another young man.
I really love you.
He's a father to the fatherless.
Who you are,
Daddy,
in all of your glory,
Daddy.
My heart beats. Oh,
that's it. Come on. That's right. That's right, honey. Let those tears flow. Daddy, hold me. Hold me, Daddy.
You are the grace.
Praise you.
daddy doesn't live for God. My mama doesn't live for God, but you're going to make it. If you'll let him be your daddy. Daddy. Daddy.
I need you to
be. Oh, he loves her, the other Bahia.
My heart beats.
Lord.